Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Congregation may be seated. Dear friends in Christ Jesus, fortunately, we're not going to use the gospel lesson tonight anyway, even though we started to read the wrong one. But you know, that really kind of plays into somewhat what we're going to talk about tonight, because really we're going to talk about feasts and what feasts are. You know, those are the little things that when people come together and they gather together as friends and family, they're able to talk about those little gaffes and those little things that we do in our life. You know, when we read the wrong gospel lesson, I'm sure some of you will get a chuckle over that tonight. I think it was my wife that chuckled when I said Barnabas instead of Barabbas. So I'll hear for a few days, and believe me, I won't let her let that giggle go either. But the reality of it is that we all do make those things in our lives, and it's those type of things that we can look at, realizing that we live in a state of forgiveness. We still live in a state of humility when we understand that that's exactly what we are. We're human, and we make those mistakes from time to time. Doesn't matter how good we are, how bad we are, whatever it is, it's part of who we are. We just make those things. We make those mistakes. And a lot of times, we can sit around and we can talk about those. I know many of you probably on Sunday will gather around with family for different reasons. And I'll get to that in a moment. But for different reasons. And there'll be a feast. Maybe it's turkey. Maybe it's ham. Maybe it's chicken or whatever that you prepare. You'll gather together and all your friends and your family will come. And you just simply celebrate. You pig out. You eat an awful lot. You wonder why you ate that much a little later on. But yet what you do is you celebrate. Sometimes, though, when we come together for a feast, it's not always for celebration either, is it? But yet it's within those times, even in those difficult times, when we come together with friends and family, that even in the midst of sorrows, we can have celebration as well. You see, that's the thing about feasts is we have feasts for many different reasons. We have feasts to celebrate Christmas. We have feasts to celebrate Thanksgiving. But we also have feasts when we come together after a loved one has died. I know all of us have experienced that. I know some of us have experienced and will experience it here in the very near future. But that's what life is about. We come together at those feasts in order to share those times of celebration, those joyous stories. In fact, one of the common things that's going to happen, and if you think about it, it does. Anytime we gather for a feast is we tell stories, don't we? We tell the stories about how Pastor made that gaffe in church. We tell the stories about when we were children. We tell the stories about the things that have happened in our life. And yes, even in those times of sorrow, we're going to go back and we're going to talk about the stories of the loved one who is passed. And we're going to remember that. And out of that, we're going to see joy. You see, there's a great number of things that we do when we come to the table. And really, that's what tonight is about, too. It's about coming to the table of Jesus Christ. And just like any family that comes together, there are stories that are being told. In fact, our Old Testament lesson, that's really the story that has been told for hundreds of years. In fact, thousands of years. In fact, we really still tell that story. You know, I was hearing earlier today, we were talking about the fact that just a year ago, and it's hard to believe that we were all gathered around many tables in the other room for the Seder meal. And we were talking about that and reminiscing about it and said, well, you know, don't hold your breath because, you know, in another year, we're going to do it again. Because it was a time of celebration. It was a time. But see, that's what the whole Seder meal is all about. It's a time in which Jesus brings to his, actually God brings to his people of Israel, all Israel, not only those who are of native Israel, but us today. The story of the Passover. In fact, when Jesus tells when he teaches a lot of the people, where does he teach from? He teaches gathered around a table, reclined at the table. In fact, it's a common theme in the New Testament. Jesus was reclined at the table, talking with the chief priests and the Pharisees. Jesus was gathered around the table talking to the tax collectors. Jesus was gathered around the table talking to his friends. In fact, that's what Maundy Thursday is about, is another night in which he was gathered around the table. One in which they looked back in history and they told those stories of old. They told the story about how God took his people from Israel, those who were under captivity, those who had been made slaves, those who had been made to suffer, those who were under the anguish of Egypt. And through his mighty power, he sent plagues upon Egypt. But yet the Pharaoh would not let them go until the one final plague in which Pharaoh himself spoke with his own lips. And they tell the story. In fact, the first Passover night they were in, they were to take a lamb, they were to slay that lamb, they weren't to boil it, they weren't to eat it raw, but they were to roast it. And they were to take that blood and put it over the seal of the door. And they were to shut those doors and not look out into the streets. Because out in the streets was sorrow. It was pestilence. It was the angel of death who had come. But for those with the blood over the door, they celebrated. They celebrated by eating the bitter herbs and the bread of haste. And eating the lamb. But once again, it was a story. In fact, it was one that is even practiced till today. For it's at that meal that the young boy stands up and he says, "Why is this night any different than any other night?" And part of the Seder is explained in the salvation that was brought to Israel, the freeing of Israel. And even in that story, they also talk about how the people of Israel went up against the sea. And Pharaoh had changed his mind, despite the death and the pestilence that had happened. And so he sends his soldiers out after the people of Israel. And there they are, faced with the sea. Where are we to go? And with the raising of a staff, with the word of God, he parts the sea, and Israel walks through the sea, the waters of the Red Sea, to safety on dry ground. And as they emerged from that water and they stood there, when Pharaoh's army started to go through, they watched as God allowed the waters to drown all of hard-hearted Pharaoh's army. Thus he gave a picture of the celebration that was to come, the celebration of holy baptism, the celebration that we celebrate, the miracle of children being marked as one of God's own. And by the way, that's another time that we go around to feast, don't we, as well? And so that story is one that has been told for thousands of years. And yet it brings us to another night. Another night of that story being told. But this was not one of celebration. This was a night of sorrow. It was a night in which he gathered with his disciples. He gathered around the table with the Passover feast to celebrate. In fact, whenever we talk about the Passover, when we talk about the Seder, it is always talked about in terms of the celebration. It's a feast of celebration. It is the King's feast. And so we come. He brought his disciples, his friends and his family, and they gathered around the table in order to celebrate the Passover feast. But it was there that he talked and he told the story about the one who dipped his bitter herb in at the same time that Jesus did. The one that would betray him. The one that would send him in just a few short hours to the cross. What was the celebration turned out to be a night of sorrow. At least that's what you would think it would be. And I'm sure during that time, the disciples felt that way. In fact, when Jesus proclaimed that someone was going to betray me, he said, "Is it going to be I, Lord? Is it going to be I?" And we heard those brave words of Peter, "Lord, I'll never deny you." We heard a lot of promises that night. Heard a lot of people, it was a lot of brave talk, didn't we? But what happened? As soon as things got a little bit tough, what happened? They weren't to be found. And the ones that did had denied anything having to do with Jesus. So was it a night of sorrow? Was that feast a feast of sorrow? What about us when we gather? When we gather for Thanksgiving, when we gather for Easter, do we sometimes forget that we're like those disciples as well? That we talk a good talk when things are easy, but yet when the rubber meets the road and we have to stand up for our faith, or we have to say something that's unpopular in this world today, are we to be found, or are we hiding behind some door somewhere? When it's time for us to proclaim Jesus Christ, are the wee ones that are standing there denying him in silence? You see, the great thing about that night was that Jesus could have had his revenge. Just as God could have had his revenge upon Egypt, he could have had his revenge upon the one that betrayed him. He could have struck Judas down after the deed was done. But is that what Jesus did? Did he hold the sinner, the betrayer, or the betrayers responsible? Does he hold us responsible today? You see, that's what the joy of this night of Passover is about. This is what the joy in that upper room is about. It's because that supper that he laid beyond, that feast that was he laid there. There was a new covenant that was made. It was a covenant that was made in his blood. He says that for all those who I call to the king's feast, for all those that I call to the Passover meal, for all those that I call by faith, when we gather at the table, as the people of Israel, as friends, as family, as brothers and sisters in Christ, that we are called to partake in that one meal, a meal that brings life. The one in order that cost him his life. The one that sent him to the cross, where he shed his blood, where he sacrificed his body, where he became that sacrificial lamb. So that when we look ourselves in the mirror, and when we confess and we examine ourselves, that we realize that we are sinful people. We are those people that make gaffes and mistakes. We are those people that betray. We are those people that mock. We are those people that do all of those things that we've talked about over the past 6 weeks. But yet, we are his beloved children. And because of that, he did not spare his own life. Not so that he could condemn us, that so he could save us. And that's what makes this night a night of celebration. A night in which each one of us have been welcomed to the king's feast. In fact, he has set the table before us and we're about to take it. The very feast of the Lamb, the King's feast, where we receive his very body and blood that takes away our sins and reassures us of the same thing that he reassured the people of Egypt, the people of Israel who were freed, all the way to us today and our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren. The same promise is for them as it is for us. That when we partake in his feast, that our sins are forgiven. You see, when we leave here today, I know in times of old, we were always told that we're supposed to go to the Lord's Supper. And we're supposed to be reverent, and we're supposed to hold our head down. We're not supposed to smile. We're not supposed to do that. But you know, tonight, I want you to remember what this feast is all about. And while I don't expect you to get up and jump for joy and start running down the halls, I do hope and I do pray that as you drink of that cup of blood, as you drink that cup which our Lord has given to us, that you realize who you are, that your sins are forgiven, that that's been taken away, that no longer does the guilt and the punishment of sin hang over your head. Just like the people of Israel, you've been freed. You've been made free in Jesus Christ. And I hope that the edge of your mouth will tilt up in a smile, because this is a celebration. It is the King's feast. It is the time of life, because that's exactly what you're receiving. When you take his body and you take his blood, it is the New Testament, the new covenant that he made to us. Simply believe in me, drink of this cup, and I will give you life. You see, that's what you have. That's a pretty big thing. And so we can't help to let the joy in our hearts trickle out in a smile. So as you receive his very body and blood, as we get ready to come forward and take it, let us take it with joy. Let us take it in celebration, and let us look up at the cross and give our Lord a big smile. In Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. May the peace that passes all understanding keep our hearts and our minds centered and focused on Christ Jesus, the crucified King. Amen.